Welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. And of course, as usual, this is definitely the place to come when you want your English to improve. My name is Rebecca. Imagine stumbling across a sunken city. How is that even possible? Is it possible for a city to sink? Well, in today's lesson called Egypt's Sunken Cities, we are going to be talking about some cities that actually did sink. But how? Don't worry, friends. You will find out. So here are a few things that we're going to discuss. First, lost and found. And secondly, the cities that disappeared. Okay, friends, open up your magazines to today's lesson and let's begin. Follow me.
Egypt's Sunken Cities. How two ancient cities were lost and found. The Egyptian city Tanis Heraklion was once a thriving center of trade. It was founded in the 8th century BC. For centuries, its location at the mouth of the Nile River made it a gateway to Egypt, which foreign traders needed to pass through. This brought it both wealth and influence. Its name reflects the city's foreign ties. Tanis was its Egyptian name, but the Greeks, who had extensive contact with the Egyptians, named it Heraklion after the hero Hercules. The neighboring city, Canopus, shared Tanis Heraklion's wealth and prestige.
Hi, welcome to Language Lab. 这篇文章第一个重点我们看 thrive 这个动词。Thrive 在这里是指兴旺或繁荣。例如 Lawrence's app business has been thriving for the past 5 years. Lawrence 的应用软体事业最近五年来都发展得非常好。Thrive 也指以挑战为乐或在困境中表现出色。例如 Amelia proved that she could thrive under any circumstances.Amelia 证明了她在任何环境下都可以有出色的表现。继续我们看 extensive 这个形容词 ,ex 这个字首有向外的意思 ,tens 这个字根有伸展的意思，所以 extensive 是指广泛的。例如 ,the music prodigy has had extensive exposure to classical music since birth. 这位音乐神童一出生就很大量的接触古典音乐。Extensive 也指大面积的，例如 extensive renovations to this old school building would take over a year. 这个旧校舍大面积的翻修会需要超过一年的时间。
Sinking, sinking, sinking.
Yes. So, speaking of sinking, Gabe, our lesson is called Egypt's Sunken Cities.
Well, right.
But how does a city sink?I've been trying to figure out how a city can sink if it's on dry ground.
Well, Rebecca, I believe the answer is in our lesson. So let's get started, shall we?
Okay. Well, let's do it.
Okay, well, Egypt, of course, is a place that goes back thousands of years. It's one of the oldest places on Earth. Now, how two ancient cities were lost and found...That's what our lesson is all about. So we're going to find out about how they were lost, Rebecca. But speaking of lost and found, isn't that kind of a phrase we sometimes use? Maybe a place we go to when we want to find something?
Oh, yes. I know that a lot of churches might have a lost and found, or even public places. Some public places might have a lost and found. And what does that mean? Well, let's say that somebody leaves...an item, a personal item somewhere, and then someone else comes around and collects that item, they'll put it in a place, and you could go to the lost and found to see if what you lost is there. Hey, I got an example. Here it goes. Before I came to Taiwan, I was at this public place, and I lost my camera.
Oh.
I left my camera somewhere, and I was really concerned. Then I went to the lost and found. There it was.
That's a great story.You found your camera at the lost and found.
I did.
Where, at school, or was it at a workplace, or what?
No, actually, it was at an amusement park.
Ah.
So this was pretty scary because I thought for sure that somebody was going to take my camera and I would never find it again. But lo and behold, it was there in the lost and found.
Well, friends, if you are at a public place like an amusement park or maybe an event center or a school or a big office building, often these places will have something called the lost and found. So if you lose something, you could ask, do you guys have a lost and found? Could I check the lost and found to see if you found what I lost?
However, in our lesson, it's actually not talking about the place a lost and found. In our lesson, the word lost really means that something was lost, so you can no longer find it. But then that item was found again, and I think it's actually referring to these sunken cities that we're going to be discussing here shortly.
And let's see if you can say these cities' names. The first one is the Egyptian city Tanis Heraklion. Very nice. It was once a thriving center of trade, and we could see where these cities were in Egypt. Okay, Egypt is a pretty big place, so this city was at the mouth of the Nile River there in the north.
That's right, and it was founded in the 8th century BC. For centuries, its location at the mouth of the Nile River made it a gateway to Egypt, which foreign traders needed to pass through. Okay, we're going to pause for a moment and talk about that phrase, a gateway to. If something is a gateway to something else, that just means it's an entrance or an opening.
So, if this city was a gateway to Egypt, that means it was an opening for other countries to come in and do their trade with Egypt, right? But we use this word gateway to talk about other ideas as well. What comes to my mind is the phrase gateway drug. Now, some people do drugs, and I don't think anybody should do that. However, there are certain things or substances that people consider to be gateway drugs. So, for example, some people think that alcohol is a gateway drug or substance, or smoking, nicotine, is a gateway drug or substance. And certainly marijuana is a gateway drug. If you start doing these things, you might start doing the more dangerous drugs.
Ah, I see where you're going with that example. That's very true. So the bottom line is you should just not do any of those drugs or just forget about it, because they can be a gateway to doing something even more dangerous. But of course, in our lesson, we're talking about how the Nile River was a gateway to Egypt with foreign traders, because foreign traders needed to pass through the Nile River or pass through this area. This brought it both wealth and influence. Its name reflects the city's foreign ties. Foreign ties. What does that mean if we're talking about foreign ties? How are foreigners tied?
But yeah, you know, it's like when you go overseas and you purchase a tie and it's from another country, that is a foreign tie.
Really? Gabe, no.
No, you're right. Okay, it's not that. No, foreign ties, that is the connection that a country has with another country, okay? So the idea of diplomacy comes to mind when someone has to represent your country and they want to have a good relationship with another country. They keep the connection. That is a foreign tie.
And of course, nowadays, different countries, actually a lot of countries, are trying to have good foreign ties. Like America is trying to have good foreign ties with other countries, as well as a lot of Asian countries, European countries.
Yeah.
It's very common nowadays.
And the thing to try to do is to keep those foreign ties, because sometimes things will happen and it will break the foreign ties, right? It will break the tie. But you want to keep that tie. We continue. Tanis was its Egyptian name, but the Greeks, who had extensive contact with the Egyptians, named it Heraklion after the hero Hercules. So it kind of had a multilingual or multicultural name.
Indeed. Well, friends, we have more to learn about these sunken cities, but right now it's time for the SC Challenge.
All right, we're back with my dad, Lihobo.
Waho. Okay.
Benkeki. All right, now we're going to continue on in English here. So our lesson is about these sunken Egyptian cities, these ancient cities. And I'm just curious. I know that my dad loves history. Egypt has been around for more than 5,000 years. What comes to your mind when you think of Egypt?
Well, I think of Pharaoh.
Pharaoh.
And Moses.
Pharaoh and Moses, Falawang, Moshi, from the Bible.
Yes.
Yes, excellent. Okay, would you like, have you been to Egypt?
No, I've never been.
You've been to Israel?
Yes.
Maybe one day we could take a family trip to Egypt.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, we could see the pyramids and maybe see some of these artifacts from these sunken cities. Now, if you could do research on any ancient city or country, which one would you choose?
Actually, I think I would choose Egypt.
Egypt?
Yeah.
Because it's so old, or?
Well, because of the wonderful stories that are in the Bible about Egypt and how how Moses was there and how he led the people out of Israel, out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and came to Mount Sinai. Oh, I mean, there's so many things that would be interesting to actually see and to study.
Yeah, well, my dad is a Bible teacher, and I think it would also be very interesting to go and visit Egypt. I hope we all get a chance to do that someday. Let's give Egypt some good tourism, why don't we? All right, well, thank you for joining us for the Essay Challenge again, and we'll see everybody next time.
Bye-bye.
Hey friends, welcome back to Studio Classroom. Now, I'm still wondering, how is it possible for a city to sink? Our lesson is all about these Egyptian sunken cities. And so how is it possible for a city to be lost and now it's found? Well, we've already learned a little bit about one city, Tanis Heraklion, but we have not yet figured out how this city sunk. Hopefully, we'll learn very soon. Well, friends, we have more to learn right now.
Egypt's sunken cities. Both cities appear in the writings of ancient historians and poets. But then, they vanished from all records. For centuries, no one even knew where these once great cities were located. In 1933, a British pilot flew over a bay in Egypt and spotted ruins. He reported his find, but nothing came of it. Not until 2000 did anyone investigate the bay thoroughly. That year, French archaeologist Frank Gaudiot used a device that measured variations in the Earth's magnetic field to make a detailed map of the ocean floor. The map helped him and his team choose the most promising areas to excavate.
Okay, 接下来我们看 archaeologist 这个名词。 Archaeologist 是指考古学家。 注意 CH 后面的 AE 是发长音的 E 念成 archaeologist。 例如 The mummy was discovered by an archaeologist back in 1886。 这个木乃伊是一位考古学家远在1886年的时候发现的。 这个字如果去掉字尾的 IST 加上 Y 就变成考古学 archaeology。 例如 Modern technologies have revolutionized archaeology。 现代科技已经让考古学有了更新。最后我们看的是 excavate 这个动词 ex 这个字首是指向外的 cav 这个字根有洞穴的意思。所以 excavate 是指挖掘或发掘。例如 The ruins of the village are being excavated by professional archaeologists 考古学家们正在挖掘这个村庄的遗址 或者是 tunnels were excavated so that workers could work underground. 隧道被开挖好，好让工人们可以在地底下工作。And now let's get back to our teacher.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Okay, we're continuing to learn about this city of Canopus. Earlier we learned the neighboring city Canopus shared Taunus Heraclian's wealth and prestige. And both cities appear in the writings of ancient historians and poets.So if these cities were referred to by ancient historians and poets, then where did the cities actually go? Well, we read here, then they vanished from all records.
And if something vanishes, that just means that it totally disappears. For centuries, no one even knew where these once great cities were located. So it sounds like they definitely diddid. Think, they disappeared, they vanished. Something happened to them. Let's continue here. In 1933, a British pilot flew over a bay in Egypt and spotted ruins. Let's stop there for just a moment and talk about this word ruins. What does this mean?
Well, a ruin is something that was built a long time ago. Like you see in this picture, it looks like a castle and maybe...A long time ago, people lived there, but over time, people stopped living there, and the building is still there, but it's not the way it used to be. You could think of it in a way like it has been ruined in some way. So not all of the stones are there. Some ways or some things have been destroyed. It is a ruin.
So you could say it's like the broken parts that are left from an old building. It could be an old castle. Or what about Stonehenge? Are you familiar with Stonehenge?
Stonehenge, yes, of course. This is quite a mysterious place, and people are not exactly sure of all the details behind Stonehenge. I've seen some ruins. I've been to Athens in Greece, and I've seen the city on the top of the hill, the Acropolis. The buildings up there, they are ruins. I've been to Corinth. And I've been to Rome. There are certainly ruins there as well. Friends, have you seen ruins? Talk about it in English.
But of course, in our lesson, we're talking about this British pilot and how he flew over a bay in Egypt and spotted ruins. He reported his find, but nothing came of it. Now, let's talk about that phrase, to come of something. If something comes of something, that just means it happens as a resultof something else. For example, I know that you've applied for a lot of jobs, so what has come of all of your job applications?
Very good. Or perhaps someone has done a lot of research. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the result of that research? Whatever came of your research? Or I know you had to have that difficult conversation with your friend. He needed to make a lot of changes in his life. Well,What came of that conversation? Did he end up making those changes?
Well, this pilot definitely spotted some ruins, and he reported it, but nothing came of it. Let's continue. Not until 2000 did anyone investigate the bay thoroughly. So that year, French archaeologist Frank Gaudiot? Is that how you say his name?
Frank Gaudiot. Yes, he used a device that measured variations in the Earth's magnetic field. And we see a word in this next sentence. The map helped them to choose the most promising areas to excavate. So if something is promising, well, you know how to use the word promise. When you make a promise, you want to keep your promise. Now here it's used kind of like an adjective, all right? It's a promising area to excavate. That means...There is hope there. You're going to have some success when you excavate there.
Okay, so here's another way that you can use this word promising. Mm-hmm. There's this Indian restaurant near Shilling Night Market. From the outside, it really doesn't look very promising. But I promise the food is wonderful. It's very, very tasty.
Yeah, so something could look promising, or like Rebecca said, it doesn't look very promising. Maybe you know someone who just started their career. You think that job is very good for them. Maybe they have a promising career ahead of them. They will be very successful. Well, friends, right now it's time for us to join Steve and Ken in the Info Cloud. They have something promising to share with us about some words from French. Let's join them now.
Let's It is well known that English contains lots of borrowed French words. In fact, French loan words make up around 30 to 40% of today's English vocabulary.
What's interesting is that in some of these loan words, there are definitions hiding. Take the word curfew, for example. We know it to mean a designated time at which someone has to be home. Teenagers might have an 11 o'clock curfew or a 12 o'clock curfew on the weekend.
Well, back in medieval times, a curfew was a signal, such as the ringing of a church bell at a fixed hour, telling villagers it's time to put out your fires and go to sleep.
Right. And so when we look at curfew through French glasses, that's exactly what we see. Couvre-feu, or cover fire.
Very interesting. How about vinegar? We know it as something we eat with French fries, salad, or 小笼包. But again, in French, we discover what vinegar really is. Vin means wine, and aigre means sour. Vinegar is literally sour wine.
Our last example is the porcupine with all its needle-like quills. Well, pork means pig, and épine means spike. A porcupine is a spiky pig.
英文有差不多三到四成的词汇源自法文，因此法文对英文有深远的影响。有些源自法文的英文单字，我们从它的原意就可以看得出一些端倪。像curfew宵禁这个字，它法文的原意是将火盖起来，这是因为在中世纪curfew是教堂敲钟提醒村民上床前要把火熄灭。Vinegar是醋。 这个字的法文原意是酸的酒。另外porcupine 这个字的法文原意跟中文很像，前面的pork是猪， 法文的apine表示针或刺， 因此porcupine就是豪猪。 这就是今天的Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Well, thank you so much, guys. I believe we saw a picture earlier which was just a hint of what we're going to learn about tomorrow.
So friends, make sure you join us next time right here on
Studio Classroom.